of underground rocks to form a global ocean, according to new research published yesterday. The findings are based on seismic measurements from NASA's Mars InSight lander, which detected more than 1,300 Mars quakes before shutting down 2 years ago. I'm joined on the line now by one of our regular contributors, David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. David, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
David, how significant is this research?
Well, they're claiming this is the first time that liquid water has been found on Mars. Regular readers of Astronomy Ireland magazine will know on the front cover, it must be 15 years ago now, we had that lander that pushed away the soil on Mars. And there was ice just below, a few centimeters below the soil. So we know there's frozen water on Mars, but liquid water is what we need for life. And it can't exist on the surface of Mars at the moment. The pressure of the atmosphere is too low. If you had a cup of water on Mars, it would actually be boiling in the cup.
Just because water may be sloshing around inside Mars doesn't mean, or does it, that it holds life?
Well, it could do, but it's going to be very difficult to find out. Even on the Earth, we don't have many drill holes, mines, caves, whatever, that go much more than 1 kilometre below the surface. And this could be 12 to 20 kilometres below the surface of Mars. So it's been found with seismic techniques, the same way that we can prospect for oil below the surface of the Earth, and indeed water, has been used on Mars with the InSight lander. That was specifically there to do seismology, to investigate using Mars quakes. Yeah, there are actually Mars quakes. I think it detected over 1,300 of them over 4 years. And that allows you to figure out what's going on at the deeper layers below the surface.
Although the InSight lander isn't working anymore, obviously scientists continue to analyse the data collected from it between 2018 and 2022, and clearly looking for more information about Mars' interior. The lander itself must have sent back an enormous amount of data.
Yeah, well, this is always the case with missions, especially if your mission has a limited lifetime, that you gather as much data as fast as possible and worry about analysing it later. And it can sometimes take a long time to analyse the data, especially to try and get the exact information that you want out of it, like how deep was this water. That isn't just going to pop up on your screen once the spacecraft lands, even after it's detected a few Mars quakes. And then, of course, you know, there are 1,400 of these quakes. You want to analyze as many as possible to see which ones confirm quakes of different size and magnitude will give different results. And, of course, there's lots of people working on other things that are below Mars surface, not just looking for liquid water. And the signature of liquid water was the best thing that would fit the actual measurements they got back. And I'm sure they're going to be working on this data for many years to come. And perhaps there's other things buried in that data that we can learn from Mars as well.
Vast amounts of water could be trapped deep within the crust of Mars, as we're saying, raising fresh questions about the possibility of life on the red planet. But I remember on this programme some time back, you were saying that by the end of the century, people will actually be occupying Mars. Does this suggest that that actually is pretty accurate analysis?
Well, although it's a vast amount of water below the surface, they're saying, in fact, if you get it all up and put it on the surface, it could cover the entire planet to a depth of 1 or 2 kilometres. That's a pretty significant quantity of water. In fact, there's probably more water than we think was on Mars during its first billion years of its life, when it definitely had running water on the surface, because we can see all the canyons, river deltas and things like that on Mars frozen in time today. But the problem is, we can't, even with current technology, we can't drill that deep. And the frozen deposits of water close to the poles will be easier to access anyway. So I'm not sure we need this water. Could life exist at that depth? Life never seems to amaze us here on the Earth. You know, we've got extremophiles, they're called, tiny microorganisms growing in extremely acid waters, extremely hot waters as well. And, you know, life, the water would have trickled down below, and life would have evolved slowly to most of it would have died, but a few hardy examples that would have created the next generation would have slowly evolved to be able to survive at that depth, is one possible theory. So it doesn't mean there is life on Mars, but it means there's almost certainly liquid water deep below the surface, and maybe life did form pretty soon and managed to eke out a miserable existence, you know, 12 kilometers at least below all that rock above you. Is that really life as we know it? It's very simple life, but we don't expect to find any serious animals or plant life that deep down, I'm sure.
And David, you know, if we look at Earth, on Earth, groundwater underground infiltrated from the surface, and is it the case that this is the same process on Mars, that the infiltration must have happened during a time when the upper crust maybe was warmer than it is today?
Yeah, that's almost certainly how it got there, because we do, as I said, we do know there was water on the surface, and on the Earth it gets down deep as well. So there's no reason to assume that these vast oceans that Mars had didn't somehow migrate downwards. And perhaps it's not the case, as we thought, that once Mars lost its magnetic field, that the sun basically stripped away its atmosphere and the water boiled off into space. Maybe it was already making its way deep down, and that's how all this water managed to survive. So we still don't really know exactly what's going on Mars, which makes it all the more of a fascinating planet, which, by the way, you can see in morning skies, it's actually doing something very special this week. On Wednesday mornings and Thursday mornings, you have to get up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to see Mars, it's going to pass very close to the planet Jupiter in the sky. Now, it's only a line of sight effect. Mars is much closer than Jupiter, but Jupiter is much bigger and looks much brighter. So the first thing you'll see over in the east from 3 o'clock on, before it gets too bright, is Jupiter blazing away, brightest thing in the sky. And then, at the moment, just above it, you'll see, to the right, you'll see Mars, and Mars is going to scoot across it, heading from right to left. There's a diagram in Astronomy Ireland magazine for Wednesday and Thursday mornings. I mean, if you sign up for the magazine today, you'll get it in the post tomorrow if you sign up early enough in the day.
Moving away from the fascination that is Mars, we had a ferocious electric storm on Sunday night into Monday morning, and then last night stargazers were treated to spectacular scenes as the Northern Lights lit up Irish skies. I was speaking to you earlier today, and you were up for most of the night. Met Aaron saying a repeat showing is possible tonight.
Well, yeah, we predicted this aurora on our social media. Every day we'll tell people if there's likely to be an aurora or not. I think this is the fourth one I've seen this year. The huge one was May the 10th. NASA said the strongest in 500 years. And we predicted that one as well. So make sure you're following Astronomy on social media. Astronomy.ie is the website. Down the bottom you'll see Facebook, X, Instagram, where we post the reports, usually just before the sun sets, so we have the very latest information. We'll also tell you what else is of interest that night. And over the weekend, we were predicting there's going to be a roar. This is what the space weather scientists were telling us. It didn't arrive on Friday. It didn't arrive on Saturday. A little bit of a glitch happened on Sunday during daylight hours for Ireland, but they saw it in North America. And it then raged on Monday. And we could see it from the spacecraft pictures blazing away over the Earth's poles while it's broad daylight in Ireland, thinking it's not going to last till sunset. It never does, but it did. And I was ready as soon as the sky got dark. And sure enough, it said, there's some rays in the twilight. And you take a picture of them, even with a camera phone, the colors come out much better. And sure enough, it was a beautiful purple-red aurora. Lots of pictures on our social media already. We're asking people to send us their best picture so we can publish another souvenir issue of Astronomy Ireland magazine with this aurora. It's turning out to be an incredible year for the sun. There's giant spots on the sun that you can see even just with a pair of eclipse glasses at the moment. I was out earlier and I could see two of them. That's unheard of. And these sunspots are what are causing all these explosions, sending material our way. So I'm not sure there's going to be a repeat of the aurora tonight. We think that the storms on the sun have now hit the Earth. The material they sent out takes a few days to get here. But the other thing that was happening last night is one of the best shooting star showers of the year, the Perseids, when you can expect to see up to 20 times more meteors than normal. Now, it was clear early on, and then it clouded in. I think I saw two meteors, and then the clouds just thwarted my plans for the rest of the evening. But other people around Ireland have been sending in their counts, and you know, if there was 20 times more last night, we're expecting 10 times more than normal tonight, 5 times more than normal tomorrow night. It dies away roughly half each night as it goes on. So it's still well worth looking out for the Perseids. And again, if you go to astronomy.ie, there's a little bit about the Perseid meteor shower and where to send your counts. All you have to do is count how many you see every 15 minutes, and that has real scientific value and enables us to predict what the shooting star showers are going to be like in the future. But I mean, do check the sky for the aurora as well. There's always a chance that some of these explosions from the sun were delayed and will hit us tonight as well. So a fascinating week with aurora, meteors, double planets in the morning sky, loads to see. It's an incredible month.
And just any particular explanation as to why it's happening so much more frequently?
Yes, well, the sun goes through an 11-year cycle of activity. Basically, the sun rotates about once a month, and it has lots of magnetic fields in it because it's a huge seething ball of plasma gas. Nothing like the Earth. We're a solid planet. And that causes magnetic fields, and they get wrapped around the sun, and they start popping and cracking once they get too tangled. And that happens every 11 years. And so the number of sunspots increases, and it's broken records this year. We think the maximum activity is probably not due to the end of this year, early next year. So there's more of it to come. And there have been dozens of spots on the sun at the minimum period in between these peaks. Sometimes there's nothing on the sun for weeks on end, not even one tiny spot. But right now the sun is very spotty, a bit like a teenager with acne. And all these magnetic fields snapping, causing these sunspots, can release this radiation out into space. We call them coronal mass ejections, billions of tons, not of solid particles, but individual bits of atoms that hit the Earth, and our magnetic field channels them into the North and South Pole. And when they get overwhelmed, that glow sort of spreads away from the North Pole down as far as Ireland. And in fact, they were seeing the aurora almost down to the tropics over the last few days.
Very good. Fascinating stuff, David. Anything that we can look forward to over the course of the next couple of weeks with Astronomy Ireland?
The big thing on our calendar is every year we have this huge star party where we invite the general public to come along and look through giant telescopes in the dark skies of the Wicklow Mountains. People have come from all over the 32 counties. I've seen some people booking tickets from abroad even. And it's on the 31st of August. This year, the special star attraction will be the planet Saturn, which is now in evening skies. And with the telescopes, you won't just see the rings, but you'll see that they're tilted almost edge on. And we won't see that again till 2039. So it makes this year's Starbecue pretty unique. And as well as that, we have the newly qualified astronaut, Rosemary Coogan, who's from Northern Ireland. And she's going to give a talk about her experiences as well. There'll be other talks, trade shows, stands, exhibitions, a professionally catered barbecue, and a whole field full of telescopes for people to look through. We'll do all the work. You just have to look, and we'll tell you what you're seeing. It's a great night out for the whole family, and definitely something you should do at least once in your life, to look through a giant telescope, thousands of times more powerful than your eye, at the wonders of the universe.
Very good. Thank you very much indeed, David, as always, for joining us on the programme this evening and with such enthusiasm, and not a bad way perhaps to bring the summer holidays to an end. David Moore from Astronomy Ireland, as always, many thanks indeed. Before we go to the